1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Biden's pushing back hard against calls to drop out of the presidential race as he faces new questions about a doctor who specializes in Parkinson's disease who's visited the White House. Spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre.
The president has seen a neurologist for his physical three times. And it is in the reporting that we share a comprehensive reporting. Matter of fact, it's more than what the last guy shared.
CBS's Major Garrett.
The White House has not been able to stymie the conversation, not been able to convince House Democrats, Senate Democrats, from doing what they would have preferred, which is to keep all their misgivings, all their anxieties to themselves.
Former President Donald Trump holds his first public campaign event in more than a week later today. As speculation grows over who he'll choose for a running mate, he tells Fox News.
I haven't made final decision, but I have some ideas as to where we're going.
All eyes will be on President Biden today when he welcomes NATO leaders to a summit in Washington. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland doesn't believe new leadership overseas will lead to many changes in the alliance.
Keir Starmer, the Labour Prime Minister now of Great Britain, has throughout the campaign basically said that he would pursue the same sort of policies with respect to Ukraine, providing military assistance to Ukraine.
Beryl is now a tropical depression that's left parts of Texas devastated and underwater. At least 8 deaths are blamed on the former hurricane, which also spun off destructive tornadoes.
The death toll continues to rise in Texas. 73-year-old Maria Laredo killed when a tree crashed through her bedroom. Her daughter-in-law, Haley Laredo.
My son was screaming, Grandma, because he saw me like crying and telling my husband, go check on your mom.
A Houston Police Department employee drowned after his car was submerged by floodwaters. Power outages continue throughout the Texas Gulf Coast. A triple-digit heat index is expected to hinder recovery efforts. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
More than 2.3 million customers are still in the dark in Texas. Jury selection begins today in New Mexico in Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter trial. CBS's Elise Preston was in court for yesterday's pretrial hearing.
The judge ruled Baldwin's criminal trial will solely focus on his role as an actor when the gun fired and killed Helena Hutchins.
Baldwin was also a producer on the film Rust. Walmart is accused of fudging prices in a bait-and-switch scheme. The company's facing a class-action lawsuit claiming it's used labels that don't match prices posted on store shelves. S&P futures up 14. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Media News, I'm Ella Sapp. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Eau Claire parents are asking the Supreme Court for permission to sue their school district over a gender support policy. The district policy says staff should respect the student's chosen gender and doesn't need to notify parents. Parents say that violates their constitutional rights. The case has already been dismissed twice from lower courts for lack of standing. A lot of farm workers do their jobs outside in extreme heat in the summer. The Biden administration wants to guarantee them mandatory rest breaks, shade, and clean drinking water. Samantha Guerrero is a community organizer who says it's high time.
There are a lot of farm workers who are in danger of losing their lives in these extreme temperatures. And so far, we have seen no urgency to enact or create any protection.
479 American workers died from heat exposure between 2011 and 2022. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a 3-game series at home tonight against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Colin Ray will get the start for Milwaukee. Garrett Mitchell off to a slow start at the plate. The 25-year-old center fielder just 3-for-17 with a batting average of 176. I asked him what's been the biggest hurdle coming back from shoulder surgery last year and then a broken hand this year.
I never felt like throughout the whole process that there was a big hurdle. I would say, obviously, like when you come into spring training, right, you got to kind of get all of the soreness and like baseball stuff, you know, get back into shape again. So I think the biggest part was probably just kind of getting through the soreness. But after like the first week of being back, it was pretty normal again.
Basketball, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo packing his bags for the Olympics in Paris later this month. He led Team Greece to qualify for the games with a win over Croatia. They'll compete with 12 other teams for a gold medal, including France, Australia, and the U.S. Giannis is 29 years old. This will be his first time at the Olympics. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon and again tomorrow. Otherwise, pretty nice this week, and we're going to warm it up. Partly cloudy, 82 today, 62 tonight, 82 tomorrow. We're talking highs in the mid to upper 80s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we're live from Wisconsin Dells on our What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour. Will Todd be on a duck boat? Find out.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, July 9th, 2024, and it's another beautiful, if foggy, day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the app, or watching us on social media video, or listening on demand by podcast, I've got a question for you. Are you thinking you're going to live to be 120 years old, and therefore you should work until you're 80-something, even if you don't want to? We'll get into Eric Hovde's strange new feelings. Well, they're not new, but his strange position on young workers, and try to figure out what it is he's got in for them as we look into some of his recent comments. We also have new recent comments from Ron Johnson. He had a telephone town hall recently and got into it a bit with one of the callers over his ongoing defense of Vladimir Putin when it comes to the war in Ukraine. And also, he didn't rule out a fourth term. The guy who promised he wasn't going to run for a third term now sounds a lot like the excuses a career politician gives for being a career politician, for somebody who initially said he wasn't going to be a career politician. If you'd like to comment on any of these stories, add some more, ask some questions, our phone number is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also text that number as well as call it. You can also text or call us directly through the Civic Media app. And if you are watching us on Facebook or YouTube, and if you post a question or some feedback in the comment sections, we'll show it and we might put it up there. Also, let's see, this morning we'll have Brittany Merlot's forecast, and we will hear from Chad Holmes about what's happening over at his radio show on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, which follows this one that you can hear through the Civic Media app. But apart from our friends Brittany and Chad and Greg Bach here in Waukesha, we are sans guest, as they would say. So Greg, we're carrying the load. We're carrying a heavier load today, buddy. I think we're up for it.
Hey man, I'll carry it. I'm your brother, that whatever that song says. I'll be your guest, Pat. Whatever version of the, like, I'll be a teacher and just be like, give us more money. I'll be a politician. Let's make some laws that don't hurt people. That's my range. That's all I got.
Okay, sorry. So stay tuned for guest Greg Bach and his many personalities.
No, his, coming up, his two personalities.
His two personalities. Yeah, that's it. Greg's in Waukesha, where it is 63 right now. It's 62 here on Lake Wissota. Hayward's at 53. Park Falls 57. Wausau 57. Green Bay 62, La Crosse is at 66, and still has a flood warning there, so stay away from the rivers, please. Wisconsin Rapids at 57, Oshkosh 63, Madison at 65, and it's humid all over. It's foggy up here. You've got that not short drive from Kenosha to Waukesha. Is it a foggy situation down there or no?
It was patches of fog, not totally foggy. In fact, it was only really foggy around like marshy lands and the little lakes.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and that might be the case, you know, here as well, where you just see this nice layer over the hay field that they cut yesterday. They did second cutting yesterday, and they'll be raking that later today. But I think I've probably mentioned this before, but I've taken early morning flights either out of Minneapolis or Milwaukee to go over Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and to see. To literally see the patches of fog is really cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a little cotton ball here, a little cotton ball there. But if you're inside the cotton ball, it's, oh my God, the entire planet is shrouded in fog. Nope, it's just you. Just,
why are you driving so fast?
Yeah, maybe slow your roll there, partner. Yeah. So be careful there. Plus, we have a little less daylight than we did before.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. 3 weeks ago. We had the earliest sunrise at 5:18. We're now down to 5:28. We've already lost 10 minutes of daylight in the morning here. No, I'm not one of those. It's like, oh, summer's almost over and winter's coming. Like, no, it's not that. I'm just saying we're losing a little bit of time here. Yeah. It's not like it was. Remember all through May and into June, I was like, what? It's another glorious morning. The sun is getting up earlier. And it still is. It's just not, not a new phenomenon anymore. Like it is after when you come out of a long winter.
But now
that's
you're like,
what I'm trying to say.
We've lost more sunlight today. We'll lose more sunlight tomorrow.
Soon
it will be darkness all across the land, through the fog, through the hail.
Okay, I don't think I put it exactly like that, but
I'm 60 years old now.
I understand.
The darkness has been bending. It's here.
I made a big deal out of watching season 21 of Top Chef because it was based in Wisconsin. Well, last night began season 21 of The Bachelor, Bachelorette. And the new Bachelorette is a badger. Jen Tran,
they're doing animal love now?
No. She's Jen Tran is a UW graduate.
Okay.
From 2020. Anyway, her season of the reality dating show began last night, and for about a hot minute, I thought, well, maybe again with the Wisconsin tie-in, you know, maybe that's a show that we should follow and have a recap of as it comes up. Well, like I said, that didn't last long. I'm reading the recap version in People Magazine online. And as there's 25 bachelors who roll up at the start of this thing. 25 potential suitors. Now, I think 7 of them went home at the end of this first episode. But as they list each guy, I loathe each one more, and I understand so well why I don't watch this. And yeah, go ahead, say, okay, old 60-year-old man, but...
What? Oh,
honestly,
you. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Honestly, 20 seasons ago, I would have told you the exact same thing. It's not my thing. It's not my thing. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm glad that we have a Badger graduate on there. She's making history as well as the first Asian bachelorette. Oh. And I'm sure that some of these 18 guys that are left, she's describing like one of them as Marvin is tall and hot. That might have been the one that lost me right there. Yep. You've got the Jonathan, who rolled up in a hospital gown and face bandages, claiming he was lovesick. What's most important for me is that you get to know me for what's inside rather than outside, said the 27-year-old creative director, who then later removed his bandages, and Jen described him as hot.
Hot.
Well, no, this one just got, Jonathan is very, very hot, and he's getting me hot.
Oh, God. Ugh, stop
Jen
it.
Said. So, Jen, we wish you well. We're going to send you a thesaurus in the meantime, and hope that the season goes all right for you. I hope you find love.
Did she say what she studied at Madison?
She's a medical assistant, a physician assistant student.
All right.
So yeah, so she's in the medical field.
Not an English major. Okay. All right.
No. Although I do, she threw a little bit of shade at Kelly Ripa and her husband Mark Consuelos when she was on the show yesterday. Apparently, when they were kind of teasing her, she threw it right back at them and said, "Didn't you two meet on a TV show?" And they were all aghast, like, "Well, that's different. We are actors on a soap opera. You know, they were on All My Children." And she was like, "Yeah, so you're acting and we're doing a little acting over here." And you know, they said it was all in good fun, just a little, you know, jousting back and forth. But I rather like that. It's like, you take a shot at me, I'm going to take a shot at you. You guys, Kelly Ripa and her husband, Mark, they eloped, got married secretly, yeah. You know, so that the bosses at All My Children wouldn't know about it. So I kind of like this Jen that way, that she's not going to take any guff from anybody. So
I don't know. You come for the queen. She'll crush you. Kelly is powerful. Yeah.
I would be happy if at the end of it, she said, "You are all a bunch of chuckleheads. I am moving on." You know, I don't know that they did they ever do that.
Who are you asking right now?
I know. I'm sorry.
Do you want to talk about Doctor Who or maybe guitars? I can talk about those things. I cannot talk to you about seasons 1 through 21 of either The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, or the very popular, then not popular, Golden Bachelor.
Oh, yeah, that's right, which also had a Wisconsin tie-in. Anyway, if you'd like to know more about this, today's edition of the Up North News Daily Newsletter does say a little bit more about Jen Tran, the new, as Christina Laurie put it in the newsletter, the new Badger Lorette. See what she did there?
Christina, if you're listening right now, I love you and you are fired. Don't be funnier than me.
No. Christine, I didn't even talk to her yesterday. I didn't even tell her about my birthday gift of some spicy cheesy bread from the Dane County Farmers Market. Yeah, I opened up that loaf yesterday after the show. I just made the best breakfast sandwich out of that. It triggered something over there.
It's just a sentence you don't hear of it. I opened up that loaf. I'm like,
what am I supposed to say? I opened up that bread bag and had some of that cheesy, chewy, ooey gooey goodness. And I did. And I don't regret it one bit.
Yeah,
I don't.
That's wonderful.
All right. There. Okay. So Christina Laurie puts that together. Sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. The Milwaukee Brewers were off yesterday, coming home from their trip out in L.A. This is their final homestand before the All-Star break. They have 3 games against Pittsburgh starting tonight. And then they have 3 against the Washington Nationals. And then next week marks the All-Star break. So the Brewers-Pirates game is at 7:05. You can catch the pregame at 6:35 on 4 great civic media stations, WRCE Richland Center, WRJN Racine Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WISS in Oshkosh. So catch the Brewers ahead of the All-Star break. And also, we'll keep an eye on any other Brewers who are added to the All-Star roster, which would not surprise me, given the way that things have gone for the team this year.
Yeah.
So a lot of good things to be said about our Brew Crew. When we come back, we're going to unpack some of the news, some of the headlines from the day, and we are going to get into Ron Johnson's comments on Ukraine and maybe even running for a 4th term. Insert heavy sigh here. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce.
Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
We will tell you what Simple Minds has to do with today's history lesson, This Day in History, coming up 30 minutes from now here on Up North News Radio. From the text line, hi, Pat, thank you. This was a note from yesterday from a listener on WAUK. For talking about the two important state referendums, please talk about this every day until August 13th. Please encourage the other civic media personalities to talk about this critical Wisconsin issue also. Thank you. Well, thank you for the text. We appreciate that. And yes, we are going to be talking about those constitutional amendment proposals for August 13th constantly between now and then. The primary election, August 13th, is right around the corner, so do make a plan to vote in this election from local to state matters. There's a lot of importance to this ballot on August 13th, and if you want to learn more about who is on your ballot and what is on your ballot this August, or to find out where your polling place is, or to make sure that you're registered, or how to request an absentee ballot, find it all at one site, myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov, to get all of that information and more. And we'll talk more later about those constitutional amendments, essentially a Republican power grab, which would enable Republican legislators to sit on billions more dollars and not put them to work for you, but instead to potentially just hold on to them and use them for tax cuts for the wealthy or other priorities. We didn't get a chance yesterday, in kind of recapping some of the news from late last week, to play a little bit of audio from President Biden's appearance in Madison late last week. So I wanted to play one clip from the president and one clip from Governor Tony Evers here. Again, just to kind of reset things on the race, because for all the focus about the prior week's presidential debate, where President Biden did not, shall we say, have a stellar performance, and where, again, that has happened before for incumbent presidents in their debate, the president has since done some interviews, including with Earl Ingram here across the Civic Media Radio Network, and speeches and everything else to kind of say, hey, guys, still here. Night wasn't great, but you're going to have that. And let's take a look at the whole record of my presidency. Here's a little bit of the president in Madison.
Because we're going to win Wisconsin. Now, you probably heard we had a little debate last week. Can't say it was my best performance.
We love it, Joe.
But ever since then, there's been a lot of speculation. What's Joe going to do? Is he going to stay in the race? Well, here's my answer. I am running and going to win again. I'm the sitting president of the United States of America, no small part because of you. Not a joke. In 2020, you came through for me. Well, guess what? They're trying to push me out of the race.
No!
Well, let me say this as clearly as I can. I'm staying in the race. And I'm not letting one 90-minute debate wipe out 3.5 years of work.
And nor should he, because, again, the presidencies are about a record of performance and accomplishment, not, you know, who gives the better speech. And, you know, history is littered with people who give fiery speeches, but who go off in some pretty terrible directions once they're in office. Prior to the president's remarks, Governor Tony Evers was among those on stage who, again, put the focus back where it rightly belongs, on who's working on your behalf versus the record of the previous president who's about to be nominated in Milwaukee next week by the Republicans.
November, and here's the truth. Donald Trump is a danger threat to our country and our democracy. He's not running to help others. He's only running to serve only himself. He's not capable of telling the truth or being honest, and he's got a radical agenda that he plans to pursue when he returns to the Oval Office. What we all know, Donald Trump will gladly sign a national abortion ban. And think about this. This week, Donald Trump's hand-picked justices to the U.S. Supreme Court, the same court that stripped millions of Wisconsinites of their reproductive freedom overnight, and that includes seven women in my family. It's a decision that, as the dissenting judges put it, makes the president immune from prosecution for things like ordering Navy SEALs to assassinate a political rival or accepting a bribe in exchange for a pardon. Folks, that happened in the United States of America this week.
We should note as well, the music bed on that is what you'll find if you catch the video over at the Up North News Facebook page, where sometimes we take those videos and those quotes and put a little music bed underneath there. Tony Evers does not travel with his own live band. But again, the comments were clear, and he talked a bit about the national abortion ban proposal, which takes me to our next subject, and that is the Republican National Committee's platform. Now, there was a meeting in Milwaukee yesterday, and depending on who you talk to, the new Republican platform either moderates its stance on abortion and really cheeses off the anti-choice people, or it doesn't. And there are some who say that the new Republican platform, for the first time, does not explicitly call for a national abortion ban. Others would disagree, looking at this language. Quote, "We proudly stand for families and life. We believe the 14th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States guarantees that no person can be denied life or liberty without due process, and that the states are therefore free to pass laws protecting those rights. After 51 years, because of us, that power has been given to the states, and to a vote of the people, we will oppose late-term abortion while supporting mothers and policies that advance prenatal care, access to birth control, and IVF. All right, there's a lot to unpack there. First off, what they're saying with the 14th Amendment is that they no longer feel that there needs to be an explicit national abortion ban passed, that they will essentially use the 14th Amendment as a backdoor to mandate or order an abortion ban. And clearly, with the Supreme Court in their back pocket, they feel like they may have the power to do that right through the executive branch with the support of the judicial branch, and not needing the legislative branch, not needing to overcome a congressional filibuster or anything like that. Keep in mind that, again, they say they will oppose late-term abortion. Not a thing. Nobody going there saying, you know, I know I'm at 39 weeks pregnant, but I just don't feel like being pregnant anymore. When this kind of process needs to happen that late in abortion, it is that late in a pregnancy, it is a tragedy for all involved, but for good medical reasons that no politician should be involved in. And then finally, do not tell us you support mothers and policies that advance prenatal care and access to birth control and IVF, because I don't know if you know this, we see your record. The record is right there. You have voted not to guarantee access to contraception. You have voted not to guarantee access to IVF. You have fetal personhood language that would endanger, is already endangering IVF treatments. And in terms of prenatal care, again, show us through your health care that you support that. Wisconsin's one of only three states that doesn't extend Medicaid coverage beyond 6 weeks to women postpartum. There's a lot of work you have to do before one simple platform is going to convince voters otherwise. We'll have more after the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke next. You're up now.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin still remains very fortunate. No detection of high path avian influenza in our dairy animals. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. And our Wisconsin state veterinarian, Dr. Darlene Conkle, says biosecurity has been the key. She said farms are doing different things to try to protect their herds, but she said so far it's all working.
And yeah, that's great to hear that a lot of farms are paying close attention to biosecurity with signage. It can really vary from farm to farm. What works at one place may not work for another. So even simple things like washing hands, having dedicated footwear and clothing to work around cattle, personal protective equipment for the milkers, and isolating any new animals that come into the herd for at least 2 or 3 weeks to keep a close eye on them, quickly identifying any sick animals, and keeping an equipment very clean and sanitized between use are all great things to remember.
Dr. Darlene Conkle, Wisconsin state veterinarian, again, she says, so far, Wisconsin's been doing a great job keeping high-path avian influenza out of our dairy operations, but biosecurity key, that has to happen every day. Markets and overnight electronic trade on a Tuesday morning, still raining red ink. Numbers are next.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Yesterday in Chicago, our barrel cheese gained 3¾ cents to 194. 40-pound block cheese, that was up 6 at 196. The AA butter, though, on Monday dropped a quarter of a cent to 313 per pound. Fluid contracts, class 3 for August that goes into cheese, closed 30 cents stronger at 2043 a hundredweight. September currently trading 2 cents lower, 2071 a hundredweight. Right now, our December corn in Chicago is down a penny at 407. November soybeans are down 6 at 1093. September wheat, that's basically unchanged right now at 570¾ on a Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon and again tomorrow. Otherwise, pretty nice this week, and we're going to warm it up. Partly cloudy, 82 today, 62 tonight, 82 tomorrow. We're talking highs in the mid to upper 80s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Before President Biden sat down with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, he made the call to Civic Media Network's Earl Ingram Show.
I screwed up. I made a mistake. But I learned from my father, when you get knocked down, just get back up.
From now and through the election, count on Civic Media to give you unparalleled front row access to the stories and newsmakers that matter most. Hear the complete conversation now at civicmedia.us. When you need real news and great conversation, count on us, the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Joe Biden's top 100 rolls into days 25 and 26. We're talking infrastructure and transportation. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Can you feel it? Can you feel the conspiracies in the air? Or can you not hear it above the crinkle of the tinfoil of the hat you're wearing? Welcome back to Up North News Radio. The update from Ron Johnson coming up in just a moment. First off, a note that Civic Media will broadcast special event coverage each and every night of the Republican National Convention next week during the 7 p.m. hour. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will be live on location throughout the entire Republican National Convention to give news updates and coverage. The Todd Alba Show will be broadcasting live from the convention for analysis and commentary each weekday from noon until 2. They did ask if I would like to be down there or even as part of the Democratic Convention in Chicago. And the very simple answer is no. I've been to a convention, and it was all nice, but I get so tired just thinking about it. That's a lot of energy to go watch a bunch of people in goofy hats. But don't let me stop you, Greg. If you want to head over to Pfizer Forum, you know, especially if you want to do it at 6 a.m. and if you want to produce the show from there, I won't stop you. I'm not stopping you. I'm not stop. Oh, wait, you haven't asked to do that, have you?
No, thank you.
I think that's a smart move. I think the parking situation is going to be a little unique. There's the perimeter plus, you know, security. You look like you might be a troublemaker. So
I definitely have a tennis ball or a hard water bottle in my pocket.
So no security perimeter violations for you.
No.
But no, by all means, give a listen to what Todd and Terry are up to as they cover the convention all of next week. Over in our daily newsletter, I mentioned already the Bachelorette article. There's also a link to a story from another news outlet about cows wearing basically the equivalent of Fitbits, which is where I learned this little tidbit, and I am married to a girl who grew up on a dairy farm. The most productive cows spend roughly 6 hours a day eating, 9 to 14 meals a day. By monitoring the cows electronically, it allows farmers to know when they need more hay. The article also talks about a robot feed pusher that runs 7 times a day as a more efficient way to feed cows. Imagine your life just having to eat for 6 hours a day and a robot just pushes food toward you to make sure that you keep eating. I mean, that's a good weekend plan for me.
I'm pretty sure that's called the American dream, right? I mean,
yes, you know, except that we're not then, you know, slaughtered and sold as quarter pounders. But, you know, it works for dairy cattle and beef cattle and all of that. So learn more about that and aspire somehow to have a life where a robot is pushing food your way, yet your life is not in danger. Look for that in our newsletter. Also in the newsletter, a link to some photos about UW-Whitewater hosting their annual wheelchair basketball camp. It draws kids from across the country. Many of the coaches are former or current Olympians as well. All right, let's get into Senator Ron Johnson and the latest escapades that involve him having a telephone town hall, which he does have from time to time. It's such a different world now than, again, there used to be like actual town halls where people would gather. They'd kind of register their name on a clipboard, or in my case, they'd come into a coffee shop where I was. We'd put an ad in the newspaper. And, you know, in that Tea Party age of 2009, 2010, you know, shortly after Barack Obama was elected, and crowds just felt emboldened to not be nearly as polite, shall we say. And so I will definitely take issue with people like, you know, Ron Johnson and others who only seem to hold telephone town halls. But that is the way that it tends to work these days. But it also makes it easier for somebody like a Ron Johnson to simply cut off the caller at some point and say, well, you know, we're going to move on. And so the first cut that I want to play for you deals with the war in Ukraine. And then we'll get into, you know, how long is Ron Johnson going to be a U.S. senator? But in terms of the war in Ukraine, keep in mind again that there are still people kind of absorbing the idea that the current Republican Party is no longer anything like what Ronald Reagan's Republican Party was, in the sense that where the Soviet Union was once the evil empire, Vladimir Putin is now something that Donald Trump aspires to, and Ron Johnson is a very willing acolyte in that. Ron Johnson has passed along Russian disinformation previously. He's been a willing conduit for it, and he still is when it comes to the war in Ukraine. Again, Russia invading a sovereign nation of Ukraine, and Ron Johnson is just basically putting his arms up and going, "Have at it, boys." And here's how he expressed that to one of the callers in his recent telephone town hall.
Can you make me feel any better about how you support Ukraine or how, sure, how the Republican, sure, Party, Republican Party is, could be more like the party of Reagan, where we take a strong stance and stop world wars before they start?
I've been to Ukraine repeatedly. I was the only member of Congress at Zelensky's inauguration. I've got a great deal of concern and sympathy for the Ukrainian people, which means I don't want them used as cannon fodder in what has now turned into a proxy war between the West and Russia. I think Putin is an evil war criminal. There is no reason for him to invade.
Senator, with all due respect, there's not a Ukrainian that would say they're a proxy between the war in the East and the West. They're fighting for their lives. And they're independent.
It's a far more complex situation than what you're laying out there, and really what the news media or the administration is laying out as well. Okay, it's a bloody stalemate. Our goals should be, what do we need to do to bring it to an end?
Okay, Senator,
without threatening nuclear exchange.
Yeah. Senator, Putin's always going to threaten nuclear exchange. He's done it three times already. And you're sounding like the legislators that were keeping us out of World War II in the years leading up to Pearl Harbor.
There weren't, you know, Tom, there weren't nuclear weapons prior to World War II. So let me put it this way, Tom, okay? Listen, I understand the threats, that type of thing. Let me point it plain. Putin will not lose this war. Putin will not lose this war, which means
if we don't help him, you're right. You're right. If we don't help Ukraine, you're right.
And Tom, listen, I think we probably to agree to disagree on this one, okay?
Yeah, because there's not a lot of people who really care to have a U.S. senator who's going to express it by simply saying, Putin will not lose this war. Putin will not lose this war. I mean, imagine the Greatest Generation. And while they're, you know, looking at the state of the world and whether they'll have to go to war, you've got people at home going, you know, Hitler will not lose this war. Japan will not lose this war. And then at some point, if they are asked to help protect freedom around the world, that's the send-off that they get. You know, this caller was perfectly on point in explaining they don't feel like proxies. They don't care about geopolitical issues. They're dying. These are free people who are trying to be conquered by a dictator. And Ron Johnson's view is, oh, it's far more complex than what you're laying out, and far more complex than what the media or the administration is laying out. Oh, okay, Professor. Far more complex than what? A nation trying to invade the other, and once it has a foothold there, is going to continue on with Putin's stated aim of reconfiguring the old Soviet Union. In his mind, none of those countries should have been allowed to leave the Soviet bloc, and he will do whatever he thinks it takes unless he is stopped. And he's only been stopped at this point through the bravery of the Ukrainian people and the investments made by Americans who did not have to send soldiers in, but have sent assistance. Assistance, by the way, that benefits the American economy. as weapons and planes and other things are manufactured here, and the investments of other partners around the world, a partnership put together by President Joe Biden. A President Donald Trump wanted to break up NATO and make it easier on Putin. He still says to this day that NATO to him is nothing more than money. And that if NATO nations, if he doesn't feel they're putting up enough money, he feels no compunction to honor any treaty agreement and, you know, let Europe again be invaded and watch the body count rise and rise and rise. That's the part that Ron Johnson is okay with. Questioner on the text line says, do you think we should send troops there? No. Which is why we need to be doing everything that we can to avoid that. But what happens if we don't? What happens if the assistance goes away? What happens if the planes go away? What happens when, if Ukraine is conquered? And next thing you know, we're looking at Latvia and Estonia and Poland. And at some point, American troops are needed. And people will look back at history and say, we had a chance to stop all this, and we listened to Donald Trump? This is what we get from Ron Johnson, who, by the way, in that same telephone town hall was reminded that he had promised not to run for a third term and did. And people want to know, are you done yet? And Ron Johnson said, no, I am not.
For the Senate, you promised you'd be a two-term senator. And I cannot, on behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you for the third term. When the fourth term is up, will you still be our candidate?
Well, first of all, when I first ran, I made two promises. I said, I'll always tell you the truth, and I'll never vote with my reelection in mind. Okay, that's not saying I wasn't going to run again, but I'm not going to conduct myself in office thinking about reelection. It is true when I ran the second time that that was going to be my second and final term. And trust me, that was my intention. It was definitely my wife's intention. What changed my mind is, first of all, I could not turn my back on this country. I mean, I was seeing what was happening to it. I couldn't turn my back on America. It's too precious in the span of human history. But also, nobody else was advocating for the vaccine injured. Nobody, or virtually nobody. And I thought they needed a voice here in Congress, in the Senate. So that was the main reasons I ran for a third term. I did learn in my second election not never say never. If we have another opportunity to do so, I'm going to do everything I can to simplify and rationalize our tax code. Those are two main goals. If I can accomplish those, I'm happy to walk off in the sunset. Okay, but again, I never say never.
Well, I immediately regret that I did not have Greg's camera up as he reacted to what Ron Johnson was saying, especially the part where he said nobody was advocating for the vaccine injured. I don't recall that that was a big part of his running. His running seemed to be that Mandela Barnes was taking parts in riots and burning down cities when Mandela Barnes was not. But, you know, through all of the ways that scare voters, I don't recall that the vaccine injured, which in some studies rates as low as 0.4% of those who got vaccinated, was reason enough to run for a third term. But a third term was definitely not his intention, and it was definitely not my wife's intention. Wow. Way to drive the bus.
Yeah.
Right. Here, dear, stand in the middle of the road. It's on you. But when you say, I could not turn my back on this country, that's exactly what people who embrace term limits are saying. They're saying, look, I can do this for a term or two terms, and then I am turning my back. I am walking away because there are other people who can do this job. You know who says, I can't turn my back on this country? Career politicians. That's the kind of thing that they say, that they are so indispensable. And by the way, now you're not going to leave unless you can simplify and rationalize the tax code? I mean, welcome to job security. If that's the standard that you're going to set, we get to have Ron Johnson around potentially forever, as long as there are billionaires willing to drag his sorry carcass across the finish line when the right political ads are needed at just the right time. Thanks, Ron. We will be back with today's history lesson coming up right after this break. You're up north.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Weight isn't just a number. It's a ticking bomb that will one day ruin your health, if it hasn't already. Sick and tired of fad diets that don't work? Wasan Weight Loss offers you the real deal, a natural, effective path to weight loss without the hassle of counting calories or endless gym hours. With our proven program, clients are shedding up to a pound a day. Real people, real results. Hear their stories. Witness the transformation.
Hi, I'm Ivor from Marshfield. I lost 130 pounds and over 60 inches. I've got so much more energy than I ever had before, and I also have the confidence to pursue cycling and kayaking and keeping up with my grandkids.
Wausau Weight Loss offers a groundbreaking approach with no gimmicks or temporary fixes. Just sustainable, healthy weight loss. Don't wait. Diffuse that ticking health bomb with Wausau Weight Loss and lose as much as 30 pounds in a month. Visit WausauWeightLoss.com or call now for your free, no-obligation consultation at 715-502-4748. 715-502-4748. That's 715-502-4748.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on.
It was on this day, July 9th, 1955. Bill Haley and his Comets, with this little tune, Rock Around the Clock, becomes the first rock song to hit number one on the Billboard pop chart. It would be a number one hit for 8 weeks. I guess I'd have to look back at the chart and see. I mean, yes, we all acknowledge that Rock Around the Clock is the first rock song, but I think given the way the rock genre is kind of all over the place, I'm sure we could look back at some other ones and say, well, they might count as well.
But yeah,
Bill Haley gets the credit.
If you watch the,
we're not going to take anything away from him.
No, I mean, who cares? But if you watch Ken Burns's documentary about country music, mm-hmm. Hank Williams Jr. has some words about this song.
Oh, really?
Oh, wait, he's like, this song's is a complete ripoff of Hank Williams Sr.
Well, there was a lot of flattery going on back then, shall we say.
A lot of tribute.
Yes. The very next year, 1956, Dick Clark replaced a guy named Bob Horn as host of the TV show Bandstand. It was basically the TV equivalent of Lou Gehrig taking over for Wally Pipp over at first base, because the show then on Philadelphia TV station WFIL would go national the next year, and Dick Clark would continue hosting it until 1989. So good job, Bob Horn. Way to be selfless that way.
Way to not turn your back on your country, Bob Horn. You stepped away when it was the right time, and you really sacrificed yourself for Dick Clark, the fans of that show, and the people of this country.
That's a beautiful callback right there. Birthdays today include Jack White of the White Stripes is 59 today.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell.
Jack White was born John Gillis in Detroit, Michigan. He took the name White when he married his bandmate, Meg White. In 2005 on 60 Minutes, he said his life could have turned out differently. He said, quote, I'd gotten accepted to a seminary in Wisconsin, and I was going to be a priest. But at the last second, I thought, I'll just go to public school. I had just gotten a new amplifier from my bedroom, and I didn't think they'd allow it to take it with me. Imagine in a different world where Jack White is your parish priest.
Can I tell you a really weird story?
Sure.
I almost went to that seminary too.
Wow.
When I was a young boy, I was very interested in becoming a priest. We had mm-hmm. three great priests at St. Mary's Elementary School here in Waukesha. And the driving force behind that, though, was the fact that for some reason, I don't think priests take a vow of poverty, but Father John drove a Trans Am. And I was like, that's cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So, but yeah, I remember St. Lawrence Seminary. They came to our school recruiting, and I was like, I'll go there.
It's amazing how life could turn out with just a few little changes here and there.
Right.
Happy birthday to Jim Kerr, lead singer for Simple Minds.
Hey.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Whoa. What? Jim Kerr, or is it Jim Kerr? He is 65 today. Mark Almond, the lead vocalist for Soft Cell, is 67 today. We got quite the 80s theme going on. We'll hear some Soft Cell later on. Let's see. O.J. Simpson, who passed away, what, about 3 months ago? He was born this day 77 years ago. The less said about him, the better. Here's one of those where two people born the same day, but could you really tell? South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham,
yeah,
and actor Jimmy Smits.
Oh, Jimmy Smits.
Both turned 69 today. They both aged in radically different ways. 1 year younger than that, Tom Hanks is 68 today. Still getting things done in the movies. Why are you laughing?
I just anytime I well, first of all, Tom Hanks, American treasure. Just protect him at all costs. But I also just every time I hear the name Tom Hanks, I think of Peter Griffin from Family. Tom Hanks. Just I don't know why. I have no idea why. Also, I really can't handle the fact that Jack White is 59.
Yes, yeah, see, there's always every day there's one birthday that makes people say, wait. Okay, I got one for you coming up. First, I'm going to tell you, Tom Hanks is 68.
Yeah.
Kelly McGillis is 67, mm-hmm. which apparently was too old for the Top Gun sequel. Here's the one that's going to hit people.
Yeah.
Fred Savage from The Wonder Years, it turns 48 today. 48, boys and
Fred
girls.
Fred Savage, what a disappointing story that boy ended up having. Just, I mean, he's such a wholesome boy. And then one day they're like, oh, no, he's a monster. I'm like, oh, come on. It's Fred Savage.
So he was born this day in 1976. On this day in 1977, two different things happened. I don't know that they're connected. First is that the new number one hit this day in 1977 was this one by Alan O'Day.
Sounds like a theme song to a canceled TV show.
Yeah, it does. It has that kind of 70s sitcom vibe.
Yeah.
On this very same day, a guy named Elvis Costello quit his job at a cosmetics factory to pursue a music career. Now, I'm not saying he heard this song and said, well, hell, if they can do it, I can do it. But I'm also not saying it didn't happen. Andy Gibb and his brothers, the Bee Gees, performed together for the very first time this day in 1978. Only you can see
me through. God, he's got that Gibb voice.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so good.
I know. They were at a concert in Miami to sing Andy Gibb's hit Shadow Dancing, which was co-written, of course, by Andy, Barry, Robin, and Maurice. On this day in 1776, George Washington ordered the Declaration of Independence to be read out loud to members of the Continental Army, where thousands of British troops had gathered on Staten Island preparing for the Battle of Long Island. The 14th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified this day in 1868, guaranteeing African Americans full citizenship and all persons in the United States due process of law. The first Wimbledon tennis championships began this day in 1877. I had no idea that they went back that far. 1996, on this day, 13-year-old Leanne Rimes released her debut album. I remember this was the title track, and we said, that's a voice. She went on to have several hits, and then at a relatively young age said, that's enough of this, yeah, and kind of stepped off the public stage for a while, as is her right, and good for her. A very short day on the National Day calendar. It's National Sugar Cookie Day. Then there's a few other little minor notes in there. But we remind you that this is the 9th day of July. It is still July, and therefore, Greg, it is still what?
Lasagna Awareness Month.
Yeah. So please be aware of lasagna for a few more days here. Much more in the second hour ahead of Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, there are people whose goal is to hike the entire Ice Age Trail. We're going to learn all about that. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
What makes Wisconsin Dells such a big deal? Well, big splashes for one, big rides too, big shows, big boats, and big scenery. The bigger the better. Water parks? They're a pretty big deal around here. Big families? You bet. Small ones too. Mini golf? Big time. 19 plus million gallons of water? No biggie. Water slides? Big, bigger, biggest. Big attractions? Check. Big theme parks? Check. Big meals? Check, please. Wisconsin Dells. Now that's big. Go to wisdells.com and plan your trip today.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.